Hi there, I'm Matt Ashburn, host of the Needlestack podcast. Needlestack is brought to you by Authenticate, creators of the go-to online investigation platform, Silo for Research. If you're looking for a way to conduct research anonymously, protect against cyber threats, all while avoid tipping off your investigative targets, then you want to try Silo for Research. The Silo Research platform completely isolates your online web browsing, allowing you a choice of location and digital fingerprint, and also has built-in workflow and automation tools. The best part is that Silo for Research is software as a service, so it can be used from any computer or location without the need for things like virtual machines, standalone networks, or dirty networks. To learn more about Silo for Research, visit Authenticate.com. That's authentic with the number 8.com.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just like you said, everyone's like, I want AI, but they don't really know what AI is, but they want it. So cyber actors have embraced it and are successfully using it. So one use case that we are seeing constantly right now, phishing templates, right? AI is enabling them to write a little cleaner, so there's not as many English mistakes, grammar mistakes, what have you.
Welcome to Needlestack. I'm your host, Jeff Phillips.
And I'm Shannon Reagan. Today, we are talking to Steph S., Senior Intelligence Analyst at Dark Owl. Steph, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Shannon. Hi, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me and for having Dark Owl. We're so excited to be here.
Well, let's start with that, Steph. To kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about Dark Owl for those that don't know?
Absolutely. We are the world leading data provider of the dark web, deep in dark web, as well as dark web adjacent technology. So think Telegram, Discord, those chat platforms. Also the markets and forums that you see frequently in the news, ransomware victim blogs where they advertise, other general markets that sell malware, drugs, animals on the dark web. So we have a mixed manual and automated collection to safely get that, scrape that information, and then put it in a very friendly user interface or an API if you need. That way you can enrich that information with ClearNet, information from social media, all kinds of different enrichment that you can do to best paint the picture of where your exposure is, what precautions and mitigations you need to take. So it's just a fascinating company, truly. It's really cool.
It is very cool. I think Jeff and I are pretty jazzed about Dark Owl. This might seem like a silly question to you, but what is your perspective of why companies, you know, need dark web intelligence, if not maybe going into the dark web directly?
Yeah, I get that. And no, I truly stand by no silly, no stupid questions. A lot of people really only know the dark web as it pertains to ransomware, right? They see, okay, ransomware is being announced on here, but there is so much more and there always has been so much more on there. So the dark web is not indexable, right? You can't Google on it. So you really do have to know a little bit more navigation of where you're going, what you're looking for. Why you should have it is because everybody these days is very, very concerned about privacy. So we all want to be online and be connected and have that social aspect, but we also want to try to reduce, you know, what we're leaking, what we're exposing. Unfortunately, with everything these days, you know, phishing, ransomware, social engineering, there are so many ways that malicious actors infiltrate an organization or an entity and then sell or monetize that information, or they do it for their own notoriety. You as an organization have got to be aware of what's out there. You can't just Google yourself or your organization and find all of the threats. When you're caught up in data breaches that are sold online and then cross-sold on a market, right, to maximize profit, you've got to take a look at what actors are doing with their IP addresses, how they're innovating and just making their operations more efficient, they're streamlining them. You've got to have the dark web piece of information because they're very open and talk a lot on there. They train one another, they share TTPs. In addition to saying, I'm going to move my C2 from this provider to that, right? Or don't message me on this platform anymore. I view it as insecure. Let's all move to Telegram, Discord. You've got to keep yourself informed. And the dark web, I respect and realize it is not for everybody. But if you do have a presence on there, if you have an incident, you really do need that piece of information or you're seriously lacking a part of the picture.
Follow up to that. Mm-hmm. For those that companies that aren't kind of putting a dedicated effort to understanding the information that is out there on the dark web, either they, you know, aren't staffed with the right people to do it, they maybe don't have the right tools to do it. What advice do you have for people that think this isn't for me?
Sure. Yeah. I would say take a look, right? Take a look at any dark web service provider, start a trial, start a conversation, go install Tor, right? It's really easy to do that. Tor is open source. You can download it and just self-teach, right? So many people these days want to spend so much time on social media or posting pictures or what have you. Great. But there is a way for self-empowerment too. Go educate yourself. Type something into a Tor browser, take a look at what people are using the dark web for and educate yourself, you know. And if you don't want to do that, then maybe look on LinkedIn or other social media, or just contact a company who does have dark web coverage and truly educate yourself before you make that final decision of, meh, I don't need this.
Oh, by the way, for some of our audience, I don't know if I like to do this, Steph, but TTPs, right? Tactics, techniques, and procedures.
Yeah, call me out because I'm former military, so I'm going to throw every acronym in the book at you. Tactics, techniques, and procedures. So, for instance, I'm an Iran analyst by trade, and Iran was really big about using European VPNs in their malicious operations. So they would use, namely, Germany and the Netherlands, constantly abuse them. When the European Union started to crack down on that, they moved to Japanese infrastructure. That is a tactic, technique, and procedure that I observed. And then we put out in the researcher community, like, hey, be aware, you know, you're going to start to see this shift.
Thank you for that.
Of course.
Pretty hot topic these days on the OSINT front is AI. I guess AI is a hot topic on every front, but in specific to us, can you tell us a little bit about any AI trends you're seeing on the dark web when it comes to AI?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just like you said, everyone's like, I want AI, but they don't really know what AI is, but they want it. So cyber actors have embraced it and are successfully using it. So one use case that we are seeing constantly right now, phishing templates, right? AI is enabling them to write a little cleaner. So there's not as many English mistakes, grammar mistakes, what have you. And then previously, you know, you can code and you can automate and do all the things to really streamline your operation. So previously, actors would only be able to get those templates to maybe tens or hundreds of companies or organizations that they were trying to infiltrate. Now with AI, you're getting up to thousands, if not tens of thousands, so they can work faster, get more, and it's harder to tell who wrote this. You know, usually the joke is, of course, the Nigerian prince, or you get this email that's riddled with so many grammatical mistakes. You're like, really? But now that's no longer the case. It's not as easy to tell. And that's probably the forefront of AI right now and how malicious actors are using them. It's increasing their operation space.
When we were talking ahead of the call, you mentioned that you have a linguistics background, maybe related to, you know, the AI space, you know, that there is such an element of writing and language as part of that. How does linguistics play a role in OSINT or, you know, threat intelligence?
Of course. I'm so glad that there's a space for that, right? So I think in tech, in AI, whatever you want to call it, cyber tech, what have you, there is this misconception that you have to be a hardcore programmer, ones and zeros, coding, all the things, right? That there's no space for other people. And I want to dispel that myth so, so, so much. Linguistics especially. So I started translating, you know, Farsi, of course, and then French and Spanish and saying, you know, this is what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. That is happening online, right? Yes, technology and the internet, a lot of it is in English, 80%. I'll give you guys that. But think of now, if you have kids or little cousins, little nieces and nephews, right? Number one, how can you even understand what they're saying in the tech jargon and neologism? Now take that and try to translate from a Spanish little kid or a Persian little kid, right? Or even a Persian actor. So you have to really be able to understand the nuance of language if they're circumlocuting around an operation. You know, if they say, hey, you know, I'm going to buy this video game from you on Steam or a gaming platform. It's $1,400. Are you good with that? And you're like, what kind of video game is $1,400, right? No, they're selling malware, right? So you've got to pick out the nuance of the language. Translation will never go away. Yes, automation will help it. We'll streamline it, make it faster. But humans always need that niche and always have to analyze the language, analyze the sentiment, those very, very fine things that you've got to have a background of and you've got to understand. With AI, it's coming into tune as well. So, you know, word clouds, for instance, it's a really great way to capture. We have so much data from AI. Word clouds come out, and let's say it's an op about protests, right? Protests are taking place. So the word cloud comes back and Berlin is in huge letters, whereas Munich and other cities are smaller. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, how is this represented? Does this mean I should pay attention to it? Does this mean it's an anomaly? Should I throw it out? There are so many different ways to involve linguistics translation and just divergent thinking into this field. So whatever your background is, welcome, come. And also learn another language, because cognitively speaking, I can't even espouse the benefits enough. I will nerd out with you on a separate podcast.
As a former creative writing major, I will welcome you into those podcasts.
Yeah, foreign language for life, linguistics for life.
That's funny. Can I just be a wannabe? Because, you know, I don't know. It's a little late to learn a new language.
Jeff, you can come too, anytime.
Well, you have a lot of passion about shining a light on the dark web. Obviously, it's great that you're a dark owl. Do you think shining that light and putting out more dark web education can actually start to have an impact or mitigate some of the threats, or in particular the threat actors?
It's a great question. We are seeing reflections of security and clampdowns shape actors and where they're moving, what they're doing, how they're communicating. So I do think that if we keep this up, yes, absolutely. And public education for cybersecurity, you know, your two-year-old has an iPad, your grandmother's on Facebook. The entire spectrum of humanity is tech enabled. We need to protect them. They don't know if they're exposing themselves. Then you've got the people who use the same password for their corporate account versus, again, personal accounts. There's a lot of education to do. And I say all that because passwords are sold on the dark web, right? Repeatedly, passwords are then put to paste sites and put out there. Once they've monetized that data, they'll just put it on a free paste site for other people to use in their operations. I do think it's a slow process. It's slower than we would want. And that is tough because tech is so dynamic and moves so quickly. But we cannot stop trying to educate and elucidate and really raise the problems of, hey, this is not going to stop. This is happening in the background and you've got to pay attention.
You know, follow up. When we were talking earlier, you mentioned, I believe the way you portrayed it was that with all that focus and attention on the dark web, that you're seeing them start to migrate to other platforms and other venues. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, dark web, the Dot Onion sites are markets and forums, and you can basically go on. I'll use Dread as an example. Dread is basically the Reddit of the dark web, right? It's the same thing. Threads, forums, advice, communities, like-minded people. So Dread, you can go on there and just find something that, you know, I want to sell malware. I'm looking for this. I'm having trouble developing this part of it, of, you know, my malware operation or this code or whatever. So it's really just essential to follow that and follow the actors. And they have openly stated, you know, think of Alphabay and Silk Road, those markets that went down. Think of recent ransomware groups who've also gone down, right? Who've been arrested, taken offline. Those groups are talking. They are sharing in Telegram, in Discord, and then, of course, on Tox, which is primarily used for ransomware comms, but it is growing in popularity. Tox is just a peer-to-peer messaging system, direct messaging. They are using more OPSEC. They are saying, do not post on this forum. We think there's a law enforcement presence. Contact me on Telegram. They are using more controls on Telegram. So you can shape a channel that only you, the admin, can post and nobody else can. So we're definitely seeing them paying attention to what's happening in the security and law enforcement world and applying that to where they're moving. More secure messaging platforms, direct messages versus public. Yes, absolutely.
It is tough to, you know, it feels like an arms race, like that you're always, you know, we're all just chasing each other around the internet.
I like that. We're all just chasing each other around the internet.
That is awesome.
I do want to talk about tools in a minute, but with the constant changes in technology and keeping up with threat actors, is there any advice that you have particularly for training or, you know, recommended forums and platforms that, you know, like Dread on the dark web for threat actors? Like, where do you find the kind of threat intelligence folks getting the most value out of information sharing among other professionals?
Absolutely. So the two main ones that have really emerged are task forces and trust groups, honestly. So let's start with task forces. We realize that it's got to be government, private, and academia has to all participate to best shape and fight the threats we're facing. So find someone who's in your geographical area of interest, right? If you have an interest in China, if you have an interest in Russia, find groups there, you know, use LinkedIn, use all of those. And then it's usually private signal groups or maybe a private WhatsApp group. And there's a lot of, you know, just TTPs that are shared in there, talk amongst practitioners. And the task forces really bring all three perspectives of those industries that are necessary. Trust groups are things that I know this won't be popular, but analysts are skeptical by nature. You know, we don't trust anybody, but when you have a trust group that starts up, so for instance, when Afghanistan fell in 2021 and they were using Snapchat as well as some other hidden underground communications to avoid the Taliban, to get people out of country who were very much in danger, a trust group started up with that for, you know, operations, getting people to safe houses, monitoring what the Taliban were doing on Twitter, as well as other places. It was similar with when Russia invaded Ukraine. Okay, find analysts who know, who has on the ground experience, who has language experience, who has tech experience, especially, you know, what are the Russians using? What are they going after? So task forces and trust groups are one thing. GitHub, I would suggest combing that left and right. Then I also really want to highlight, there are quite a few really great open source organizations out there. You know, I follow China, so I need to understand how to get behind the firewall if I can. How do I pick up information or open source information on WeChat, QQ, etc.? The Digital Sherlock program handled that. They have a by area of operation AOR program that you can do for free. All you have to do is apply, state why you need it. So there's a lot of free open source training. You can never go wrong with the SANS course. They just started a cybercrime one, which I'm super excited to take. It's a 500 level, so I'm going to wait on that. But yeah, the tech, and then also I'm not going to shy away from things like Coursera or Udemy. There's plenty of baseline foundational classes that you can do on there. You don't need to say be a coder yourself, but maybe you want to understand why your malicious actor is doing what they're doing on the dark web. Take a 101, understand what's happening, an object versus a whatever, right? Immerse yourself and use those free resources, YouTube, Coursera, Udemy, work training, trust groups, to really flesh out an area and flesh out expertise and share information.
That's great. Okay, aside from groups, what are some of the tools with the right know-how that you think are really valuable to, you know, dark web threat intelligence understanding?
Dig that. When I first got started years and years and years ago, and it's still around, dark.fail, type that in your Tor browser, honestly. This is I give anybody who's like, I'm curious about the dark web, but I'm also afraid, right? Understood. There are risks. Dark.fail is like a how-to. It's like lower than a 101 course, right? Basically, it gives you every listing of, okay, here's a popular market. This is its onion site, because onion sites are now at 57 characters, if I'm not mistaken. They used to be 22. Nobody can memorize that. And it's not like a google.com, or it's not like a, you know, authenticate.com. The URL doesn't make sense. The onion ones are obfuscated for a reason. Dark.fail lists them, lists if they're up and down, lists if they're temporarily unavailable, gives you the mirrors or the ClearNet site equivalents. And then another one I really love is ransomlook.io. That's, of course, for ransomware, but that site also is amazing. Open source, type that in your browser. It gives you every single ransomware group that's out there, right? What their blog looks like. What are some of their latest victims? Is their server up and running? In some cases, where do they host their server? So there's no perfect way to index the dark web, but there are starting points, those two that I just named, to really get you started. And then that curiosity will take over.
Yeah. I think that's great to just recognize, you know, even like a tool like DarkOwl, is that, you know, a lot of the work can be done for you, but you can still utilize, you know, the intelligence and the information.
Yeah. And go, you know, whatever your provider is, we like analysts love writing and blogging and be like, this is what I discovered, right? Go check out blogs from any company that has a dark web focused. If you're curious, they have wonderful insight, wonderful how-tos. And then generally they keep it short and sweet, right? Because we're all busy. We don't have enough hours in the day. So we're not going to give you a PhD level thesis of this dark web actor. We're going to give you the nitty gritty. Here's some IOCs. Here's some mitigation. Good luck, right? That's what we're going to try to do. So
yeah, love that.
IOC, indicator of compromise.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
There's my value, acronym value. That's my value today.
You're a cybersecurity linguist, Jeff.
You are, Jeff. You are.
I'm not even an English major or a linguist. That's awesome. Well, Steph, thank you for joining us today. And thank you to Dark Owl for letting you join us today. That was great. Much appreciated. And thank you to our audience for joining us. You can view transcripts and episode info on our website, authenticate.com/needlestack. That's authentic with the number 8. And be sure to let us know your thoughts on social at Needlestack Pod, and to like and subscribe wherever you're listening today. And please tune in again next time for Needlestack.
Thank you guys so much.